Be sure to subscribe to the Front Row Knowles podcast and follow at Front Row Knowles on Twitter. Now back to at underscore Tom Block and Twitterless Keith Jones. Yes, you heard us right, in the Prime Meridian Bank Studios.
Welcome back to Front Row Knowles. Let's dive deeper, continue the conversation on Florida State football in this opener against Notre Dame as we reopen that Earl Bacon Agency hotline, the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. And we say hello to the Osceola's Patrick Burnham. Hey, Pat, how are you?
Great, guys. How about y'all?
Doing well. We're going to talk a lot of Notre Dame, and maybe I shouldn't start here, but you wrote about it in the Osceola, and we saw the news. FSU fans saw it a couple weeks ago. On top of the fact that your dad coached for the program during the dynasty days, now your brother is actually a part of Mike Norvell's extended staff. I'm not sure what the actual term is, defensive analyst maybe. So the Burnham family connection continues at Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, pretty neat for Shane. Very excited for him. Will be obviously be a very cool moment for he and my father on Sunday night. Now we will have all coached against Notre Dame at one of our college stops. So that will be pretty cool for the whole family. But, you know, I've heard Coach Norvell talk about fit a lot since he's been here. And if he was looking for a really good football coach who's a really good family man, Shane is certainly that. Listen, we don't talk any more or less football than we ever had. And I know that he knows there's some things that we can talk about and can't talk about. And I would never ask him anything that would put him in a bad spot. But I'm excited as I can be for him. Obviously, we spent a better part of our lives as children together in Tallahassee. It's the only place where all three kids went to school together, and certainly will be a special time for all of us on Sunday. But it is what it is. It's a family business. And that's what it'll turn into as we move forward.
Pat, as we shift our attention to the game itself, right out of the blocks, what's the biggest thing you're looking for that you want to see early if Florida State's got a chance to hang with the Irish?
I want to see them be able to stop the run on the defensive side of the ball. That's what Notre Dame's going to try to do. They've got about 2,000 yards worth of rushing yards coming back this year. Obviously, Kyron Williams is the guy that starred last year for him with over 1,100 yards, but they got two really good guys behind him, and Chris Tyree and Sebo Flemister. Combined, those three rush for over 2,000 yards. And obviously on the offensive side of the ball, Florida State's got to be able to stop the pass rush. They proved last year that they can run the ball effectively. Where they struggled was in pass protection. And Notre Dame's got a very solid front four, and they're not afraid to blitz. You watch their spring game, they brought both two of their three linebackers up into the A gap, and sometimes they would bring them, sometimes they won't. And I think Notre Dame's going to come out and try to pressure the quarterback, no matter regardless of who's in the game, but certainly those are the two things up front. Can Florida State stop Notre Dame's run game, and can we stop their pass rush?
So let's start with that first question, Pat. The parts have changed for Florida State, particularly outside, where the transfer defensive ends had really good camps for FSU by all accounts, and Notre Dame is changing over four out of its five offensive linemen, and we'll start a freshman tackle at one of the tackle spots. Now, that said, it's a blue-chip tackle, and the guys that are new starters are pretty much blue chips too. So how do you see that matchup?
Well, you would think there would be some drop-off, right? I mean, just generally some drop-off from one year to the next when you lose that much talent, four of the five guys. But, hey, they did a great job replacing some of those guys. They got Kane Madden, who was All-American last year at Marshall, who Florida State was in the running for this summer. They've got a very good center, Jarrett Patterson, who has started 20 games and was an honorable mention All-American last year. And like you said, they've got some high-profile guys stepping up and that have played some football in reserve roles for Notre Dame. If you watch them in spring, they look very solid. At least the first team did, the guys that ran with the first team in the spring game. But certainly you would think that with Keir Thomas and Jermaine Johnson playing at the high levels they have over the course of their careers, it might be a little bit more even matchup than it was last year. And then, of course, you've had some guys like Fabian Lovett and Dennis Briggs who have had really good camps and look like they could have breakout seasons. So I think Florida State's got a chance to have a strong starting unit on their front four. And I think, they can build some depth with your Josh Farmers and Jarrett Jacksons and obviously Quayshon Fuller. So we'll see how that pans out. But certainly, I think they've hit home runs based off what we've seen in practice with those two defensive ends.
Now, Pat, the Irish are breaking in a new quarterback. The book, whoever wrote that dang up thing, says that if you're breaking in a new quarterback, you rely even more on the run. You think we'll see an extra dose of that, at least in the early going?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they did so successfully last year. Now, Jake Cone is not exactly Ian Book. He is more of a lot more of a pocket passer than Ian Book was. I mean, Ian was a pocket passer, but certainly had the mobility to get out and make some plays with his feet. Jake is certainly not that guy, but he has a very quick release. They let him throw the ball a lot in the spring game. With the one offense, they threw about two passes for every one run. He looked very sharp. Looks like he's got a very strong arm, quick release, quick decision maker, but certainly I think that you will see them try to run the ball. I think that's what Brian Kelly wants to do. I think it's what most offensive coordinators wants to do because it means you can control the ball game.
We're talking with Pat Burnham from the Osceola. He, I don't know if pens is the right word in this digital age, but writes a Takeaway Tuesday column all season for the Osceola. And if you're not a subscriber, I encourage you to do so. $6.95 a month or $74.95 a year. Pat, I mentioned at the top of the show to Keith that the two of the names that I feel like there was a lot of intrigue and talk about in the offseason, but then maybe not as much during fall camp. One is Parchment, the transfer receiver from Kansas, who it feels like was a little up and down in fall. And the other is Amari Gaynor, who there's always been a lot of excitement about, maybe more so because he's local, he's a legacy, and he's got a great frame. Are those two kind of wild cards, i.e. if you're hearing good things about them, then things are going well for FSU, or is that putting too much on their significance to the overall team play?
Well, listen, if Amari and Andrew can have solid years, you're certainly going to be, certainly going to help this football team. Andrew had a lot of catching up to do. He was not here did not get here till late in the summer. He, from what we saw, he did struggle early in camp, but certainly he was a different player and as far as being comfortable in the offense from the first time I saw him in practice until the last time I saw him in practice. And he is a guy that has a lot of length. He's got a lot of speed, and he gets up to full speed really quickly. And I think he's a guy, if he can learn the nuances of the offense, he can, as a guy that can take the top off of defenses and really strengthen FSU's underneath passing game, the quick passing game, and obviously even benefit the run game to some degree. And then Amari, he was a highly productive player for FSU last year. At least what we saw in the spring, they were doing a little bit of different things schematically with that 4-2-5 defense, which is really just your nickel playing up as the Sam linebacker. So, he had moved around a little bit. I think, he's obviously going to have a spot when they run some base 4-3 concepts, but a guy that certainly has a lot of potential. And I think it's just about finding his role within that defense, but certainly a guy that plays with a lot of passion and a lot of effort and someone that, so likable you want to see be successful.
Pat, any of the freshmen that we should look for to see significant playing time here in the early going?
I've heard a lot about Shaheem Brown. He's running as a listed second team on the depth chart. He was a guy that I really thought was a find in during the recruiting process. He kind of got offered late by Florida State. And, I talked to Brian Allen, who was his high school football coach. And, Brian and I were having a conversation after committed to Florida State. And Brian said, listen, this kid could play on any of the dynasty level teams, dynasty era teams. He could play the only team I played on. Now, he's a freshman, right? You're going to have mistakes with freshmen. I mean, you're going to see Malik McClain and Josh Burrell and Darian Williamson and Sidney Williams and guys like that were true freshmen last year that played sparingly that are still now what we're calling second year freshmen. But, they were forced into action when they really weren't ready. So from a redshirt freshman standpoint or second year freshman standpoint, I certainly think you'll see more of those guys. step up, and FSU needs them to, particularly at receiver. You need some of these young guys to step up. But, you know, Shaheen Brown is one of the true freshmen that really sticks out to me based off what I've seen and what I've heard when talking to Jerry and Bob when they have been at practice and I have not.
Pat, any surprises when you saw the depth chart released earlier this week?
Not really. I mean, I thought it kind of played out how I thought it would. I think the move, moving Travis Jay to corner was a good move. He can really rely on his athletic ability. He's a really good athlete, explosive guy. I think that helps him a little bit. And then, of course, you know, we have seen Miko Dotson, who we didn't see a lot last year. Miko's listed as second team and will back up Jarvis Brownlee. But Miko is a guy that played in 2019 for, I believe, FAU and led the nation in interceptions. So he's a guy I would love to see. And then, of course, you know, you're going to – linebackers, DJ Lundy, how's he going to look? He's going to be a starter, and I'm really looking forward to watching the development of Cortez Andrews, a linebacker from Maryland that has had a pretty impressive camp as well.
All right, Pat, well, come on and tell us now, who's going to take the first snap at quarterback? You're the inside guy. You know, you got to know.
Well, I don't know any more than you guys do. But I would love – hey, listen, I put this in my little takeaway Tuesdays. What we both know, all three of us I think know, is that they're going to play both these guys.
Right.
And I would love, just because of what Jordan meant to the team last year and what McKenzie has been through to get back, I would really like to see them both line up on the field at the same time that first play. I mean, and whatever, wherever you want to line them up. But, you know, both those kids are warriors. Both those kids are leaders. Obviously, both very physically and mentally tough. And, listen, most times it's probably not good to have a quarterback. And I don't even know if this is a quarterback situation. They seem to get along famously when you watch them interact at practice, as do all the quarterbacks. But I think in this particular situation, having two quarterbacks – because of what they're able to do, they have complementary skill sets, is a good thing and not a bad thing.
Maybe he'll just start Chubba Purdy. Just, you know, he'll just throw Chubba out there for the first time.
Chubba's good too. But no, I didn't know how – I'll put it to you this way. Jordan's name is listed on the depth chart before the or. So if you're really getting into reading tea leaves and the depth chart, if we've got an or, is not in alphabetical order, I guess you could say I'm putting my money on Jordan taking the first snap.
Keith already offered that expert analysis earlier in the show, so I'm glad you guys are
on the same page. Great minds think alike, Tom. Great minds think alike.
Or weak minds think alike. I'm not sure which.
Well, there might be two of that. There might be some truth to that as well.
Patrick Burnham from the Osceola, we appreciate it. We'll see you on Sunday.
All right, guys. Have a great one. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the insight. As always, we'll take a break, come back, and continue with Front Row Noles.
Hi, I'm Bob Hobbs. We're always talking about getting your best deals, your best trade, and your best financing. But with these challenging times, we wanted you to know, if you can't make it in, we'll even bring the car to you, and we'll appraise your vehicle at your home or business. And for all our service customers that can't make it in, we'll pick up your vehicle, get it serviced, and bring it back to you. We just want to make it easy to do business. We appreciate our customers and want to say thank you for your business. So whether it's sales or service, come by and see us or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com. Buy and service your vehicle the Hobson way.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent Auto Owners agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Front Row Noles is presented by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way. And by the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. Now back to Tom and Keith.
Welcome back to Front Row Noles. Tom Block, Keith Jones, as we wrap things up for you here on FRN. Still several minutes to go. Appreciate William Floyd, Patrick Burnham. It feels like football, Keith. What resonated from the comments of our two guests today?
Well, the biggest thing is just the excitement. I mean, I know it was exciting last year, a little bit of trepidation about whether we were going to actually play, what the stadium would look like, you know, how it was going to be. We didn't have the postponements and or the cancellations early in the year like we did in the latter part of the year, but that was in the back of our minds. So now the excitement is old-fashioned excitement. We just want to get in dope. We want to hear the Chiefs. We want the planes to fly over. We want the kids to roll out. We want to see the horse run around. And we want football with 70,000 plus or minus people watching the way it's supposed to be.
You mentioned the marching Chiefs. I'll remind our fans, they're now going to be at the north end of Doak in the student section. So that will be a change. Now, they'll still enter the field the same way through the tunnel at the south end. But that'll be kind of cool. I know they David Plack, the director of athletic bands, commented at the time that FSU was one of the only bands he was aware of that didn't sit with the students. So that'll be a different dynamic that the students will certainly appreciate and fans will enjoy.
I personally was not aware of that. So that's a good update.
There you go. This is why you tune into this show, Keith. That and because I call you every week and say, hey, are you going to be on the show this week? And then we get together and we talk about things for a little bit, right?
Exactly.
By the way, I mentioned the students. I did get an update and kudos to the students because they sold out their allotment of tickets. And they went fast. Now, I don't think the game is a hard sellout. I think there's still tickets available. So, folks, if you don't have yours, you can go to Seminoles.com/tickets and get some. But as we mentioned early on, tailgate lots open early. There's a flyover. It's Mike Norvell and companies. Really their first game here with this kind of atmosphere. By the way, Keith, I didn't mention this early on. The Air Force flyover, two of the pilots are Florida State alums. And one of them, this is his last mission at the end of a 33-year Air Force career, Lieutenant Colonel Joe Fahili, I think is how you pronounce it. He's retiring, and he's never done this over FSU, but has wanted to. So that's a pretty good way to go out. They're with the 93rd Fighter Squadron out of Homestead, so that'll be pretty cool to see.
That is very, very cool, and it'll be very, very touching, no question.
All right, I don't want to sidetrack us too much, Keith, but I'm going to in our final minutes here, away from FSU Notre Dame. And go back to this alliance talk, which we had a big press conference where they officially announced nothing, and we've already reacted to that. They just announced some kind of nebulous concepts. Subsequent to that, the Pac-12 commissioner has intimated, or not just intimated, I think he's flat out said.
He said
that the idea is that each of these three conferences, Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC, every school in those leagues would play one home game and one away game a year against a Pac-12, Big Ten, or ACC foe. Which makes sense for all the schools that don't have big-time out-of-conference games currently. I'm here to say, Keith, that Florida State, A, doesn't need to be playing eight ACC games, Notre Dame and Florida, and a Big Ten and a Pac-12 school, nor do they need to drop Florida so that they can accommodate playing Cal or somebody else out of the Pac-12. That's my 2 cents.
From a mathematical standpoint, that structure will not work. Now, it makes perfect sense if you didn't have any of the ACC schools that had longstanding rivalries with the SEC schools. But that won't work for Florida State. So that's a non-starter from the get-go in terms of my looking at it. The other part, excuse me, Tom, that I do think is going to come into play, and I think it's a bad thing, personally, is there are many of the schools within that alliance that don't want to go to 12-team playoff. They want 6 or they want 8, and I think that momentum has been severely reduced by this alliance, if for no other reason than the verbal conversation about it.
Yeah, and we talked about that before. Yeah, I just wanted to come back to the schedule point. There's an easy way to get around this. Just carve out an exception for Florida State, Georgia Tech, Clemson. The reality is the ACC gets the TV dollars every other year when Florida plays at FSU. And that's a bigger TV dollar game than just about anybody you could pair FSU up with from those other conferences, save for maybe Michigan, Ohio State, or USC. Other than that, the Florida game is already bringing the dollars and has been, and FSU's bent over backwards for the league over the years, playing games like Sunday, playing the primetime games. They don't need to accommodate that one if it actually comes to that. I'm not sure that it will, but.
And I'm not sure either, and I do agree with you. This may be one of the few times we are in probably absolute lockstep agreement.
maybe one of the few of late. Just a couple minutes to go, I'll mention that the soccer team 4-0 plays at home against Florida tomorrow night, looking to go 5-0 and 3-0 against the SEC. The women's volleyball team is hosting a tournament this weekend. Matter of fact, they've been hosting Tulane all week because they were displaced with Hurricane Ida. And I guess as we finish up, Keith, I should point out that my wife's whole family is from New Orleans, and most of them are displaced and certainly without power, without water right now. And so certainly thinking about all of them. Some of them are in Tallahassee staying with us, as a matter of fact. So it's been tough times. I think everybody's aware that that was the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. But if you married into it and you spend a lot of time there, you certainly get an up close look and just how devastated that community's been over the years. So certainly.
Yeah, I thought it was a not good coincidence that Ida and Katrina were 16 years apart to the day. Certainly from a water standpoint, 16 years ago, it was breaches and that type of thing. And this year, it's just true water. And that system has been unbelievably unkind to New Orleans from that standpoint.
So certainly thinking about all them, including my family. Keith, as we wrap up, do you agree that the key to the matchup on Sunday is in the trenches?
Without question. Now, the one caveat, as first games go, and our listeners will be aware of this, you know, penalties and dumb mistakes, those are two things that you always worry about in the first game. And they could play havoc for either a team that commits them. But I do think that the play, particularly Florida State's defensive line, trying to control that new, younger Irish offensive line is where I'm going to be watching for the most part.
One thing that we haven't mentioned, but Mike Norvell has a good reputation for, is his special teams. And they were pretty good last year, despite the 3-6 record. And I really am pretty optimistic and high on what Travis Jay is going to do. He's listed as one of the kick returners and a punt returner. A lot of talk about him at corner. I think the special teams game is going to be pretty big over the course of the year for Florida State. And certainly I would take something on Sunday night in what will be an electric atmosphere at Doak Campbell Stadium.
Getting some, yardage in the punt return game is going to be key as well. You're correct.
All right. We will wrap it up for you as we always do. Folks, enjoy the game. This is Front Row Noles.